You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again, as Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today, the birthday of my father. And at the beginning of the show, we had our little birthday festivities that the family was in studio, brought a cake, and we wished them a happy birthday.
Thank all of you. Thanks to each and every one of you. I'm not deserving of that, and certainly that was quite embarrassing to me. And plus, we took away.
Oh, yes, you are. Guests, I mean, if you weren't born, then I wouldn't be born.
And so say.
Then the earth would be void.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
That's true. So, but it's good all around. So, yeah. And you know what else is good? Doug Book for the promo code for Health Masters. And I'm just so grateful that Dr. Ted Brewer has allowed our audience to take advantage of using that promo code to get the his book Breakthrough Health, and of course free shipping on orders over $50. Terms apply or conditions apply, but nonetheless, what a great deal. And Breakthrough Health, by the way, that's a timeless classic. It's Dr. Brewer's magnum opus.
It's like Dare to Prepare for health.
Yep. So that's good. All right, let's get back to pulling the information from, or actually accepting the information flow from Dr. Ted Brewer from HealthMasters.com. Dr. Ted, thank you for keeping up. Thank you for spending your time tonight. And I know that you've got, again, 1,000 other things you'd be doing, and you're spending it with us. Thank you for that. So let's get rocking.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. You know, I kind of consider you guys to be family anyhow, so that's why I love being on your show. It's just a lot of fun. It really is. Okay, let's go back. And I mentioned this earlier. Let me read some statistic on it now, because we're gonna get away from the actual health stuff now, but I want to do one more thing. I get ready for huge Obamacare premium hikes in 2017. Amid rising drug and health care costs and market dynamics, the spokesperson for the National Health Insurers is predicting a substantial increase next year in Obamacare. Yep. Without venturing a specific percentage increase, Marilyn Tavener, the president and CEO of America's Health Insurance Plans, said in an interview with Morning Consultant that the culmination of market shifts and rising health care costs will force stark increases in health care insurance rates in 2017. And I mean, that's pretty crazy. If Mike already had a 500-600% increase in his insurance, what does the word stark even mean? It's absolutely, some people have seen up to 76%. Of course, Mike had a 500% increase. So it's just going to get worse and worse and worse on this big Cloward Piven thing. And I just, the whole thing boils back down to Justice Roberts, saying that this was a tax. It's not a tax. It's tyranny. That's
exactly right.
Absolutely.
It's nothing to do with taxation. I mean, I can't even believe he said that, but it doesn't surprise me though. I mean, that's what they do. Now, let's talk about.
You just mentioned the Supreme Court justice. Did you see what Chelsea Clinton said, stating that now that Scalia is no longer on the Supreme Court bench, that a new vote on gun control measures would yield much better results for progressives and the gun control lobby.
Yeah, crazy talk.
I mean, Webster Hubble's daughter.
and thank you. Yeah, a lot of people don't really get that. Just as they don't get
Look at Chelsea Clinton and get a picture of Webster Hubble and put them side by side.
Yes.
I mean this is not a hard one to figure out. I mean he's like she's a spitting image of Webster Hubble. And so it's just first of all, let me digress for a second, okay? Number one, we already know that Bill doesn't have sex with Hillary. We got that, okay? We got that.
Okay,
we already know the rumors are pretty much out there, and they're probably true, that she likes girls. Okay, we got that, too. Nobody's surprised by any of this. So if Bill's not having sex with his wife, you know, whatever. He doesn't care if somebody else is going to have sex with his wife. And if Webster Hubble had sex with her, I'm sure Bill didn't care. That's the kind of loose group of people these people are. They just don't care. And so look at a picture of Webster Hubble. Look at a picture of Chelsea Clinton. Decide for yourself who in the world knows who her daddy is. But it's an interesting thing. But let's talk about Prince, the guy who just died, and chemtrails, the New World Order, and secret U.S. history. This is interesting. Prince went on mainstream television back in 2013, and he went on Tavis Smiley's show in late night, and he started dropping knowledge of chemtrails, the New World Order at the United Nations, and global manipulation. And he said that we are all indentured servants and currently slaves on a plantation. Prince, he doesn't vote because of his religion, although he thinks that Obama means well. Of course, you know, he would think that. But the point is this. He straight called out the New World Order and chemtrails on a national late-night talk show, and we wonder why he's dead. I mean, is there really any wonder why he died? I mean, this guy, and remember, too, guys, this is that big Batane ritual here from the 19th of April until the 1st of May for all these human sacrifices. This is when they like to kill people and do all of these things, and suddenly he's found dead in an elevator. It seems a bit odd to me. And so in an elevator, apparently in his own house. But, you know, the sad part about all of this is, you know, this happens all of the time. We saw it with Whitney Houston. We saw it with Elvis. We saw it with Janis Joplin. We saw it with Jimi Hendrix. We saw it with the singer of the Doors. I think it was Morris. And, you know, all of these people end up dying. They all died. Some of those guys all died at the age of, like, I think, 27. And so it's all about, these guys are obsessed with numbers and numerology and star charts. And everything's by the numbers, by the numbers, by the numbers. And so it's really kind of sad to me that Prince is dead. I never really listened to any of his music. But if we've got somebody like him who's calling this stuff out, you know, I'm not surprised that he's gone. What's interesting to me is that that Jim Carrey and his ex-girlfriend, Jenny McCarthy, and also that the guy who did the Vaccine Festival, Robert De Niro, that all these guys haven't checked out yet, because these guys are huge. Because when they give these guys this kind of authority and this kind of autonomy, it's very, very difficult to control them, because they have so much notoriety, they can do serious damage to the New World Order guys by running their mouth like Prince did. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Prince is rather, to me, an enigma. Obviously, you know, the effeminate nature of Prince and the symbolism he embraced when he was going through the war with his record label. Now, I get that. I just don't get the symbol that is really a mixture of occult symbols. But then again, I do understand. I understand his dropping those information bombs on late night television, and I do think that has a tendency to catch up with you. But look at the stars, look at the planetary alignment, look at the dates, look at the symbolism. It doesn't matter if you and I believe it, doesn't matter if the people out there believe it. It matters what the Luciferians believe. And if they want to celebrate this as a satanic ritual death, they're going to do that. Or if they cause it to be a satanic ritual death, then that's part of the program. So we better start waking up to this.
Yeah, let me give you another, because I know you guys are constantly adding new listeners. I want you guys to go back to Brad Metzler Decoded, The Spear of Destiny. And I've talked about this on the show before, but it's been a couple of years, and I want to mention it again. Brad Metzler did a show called The Spear of Destiny, which was the spear they supposedly shoved in Jesus' side when he was on the cross to make sure that he was dead. And what's interesting, the Roman Catholic Church supposedly retrieved this from the Roman centurion who did all this, and it was kept in archives, and it was kept in archives in Austria, and it was supposed to be called, it was called the Spear of Destiny. And history said that any army that carried the Spear of Destiny could not be defeated. This is what they believed. And so Hitler wanted this Spear of Destiny, and he took it when they annexed Austria. He took it from this museum where it was being housed. And this is where the story gets interesting with this TV show, Brad Metzler, Spear of Destiny. You can still watch it online. It's completely free. You're subjected to a barrage of commercials every 5 minutes, but you can just watch the whole show. This final part is like the last 10 minutes of the show that I'm going to tell you about. So they trace down this Spear of Destiny, and I believe this is probably why that show got canceled, to be honest with you. And, you know, because he did this show. And what was interesting, he's talking to this guy at the end of the show, and this guy said that he knew where the Spear of Destiny was, but the guy insisted on meeting him in a church. Now, you watch the show, you'll see it. They meet in a church with a big cross, and he starts telling him a story. And he said that he was a bodyguard. The guy in the church was a bodyguard for the world's elite. And he said these guys kind of run together in a little club. And he said that he was in a bar one night talking to another bodyguard. And the other bodyguard asked this bodyguard, "You don't know who your boss is, do you?" And he goes, "Well, I know his name, and I know who he hangs out with." He goes, "Well, no, you don't understand. This guy has appointments with the President of the United States without making an appointment. He walks into the Oval Office." And he goes, "Well, okay." And he's also the guy who stole the Spear of Destiny from Hitler. Now, this is interesting. And then the guy looked at Brad, kind of looked at him. He goes, well, this is the part. He goes, "Yeah, this is the part." And he goes, "These people who have the Spear of Destiny, they consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, the sons of the fallen. They trace their lineage back to Nimrod and to Lucifer. That's who they consider themselves to be." And Brad Messler says, "Well, do you believe that?" He goes, "I don't. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. This is what they believe. And they believe it so strongly, they're willing to die for it. And they want to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And they want to bring their Antichrist back into the Holy of Holies. And they want to pierce him with this Spear of Destiny to consecrate him to take over the planet as Lucifer's, you know, kingdom." So this is what's on that TV show. And when Brad Metzler said this, I thought, "You've got to be kidding me." He said this out loud. And, of course, his show was canceled like the following season, kind of like Jesse Ventura. He got too close with conspiracy theory about talking about what was going on, and suddenly his show doesn't get renewed. They put him in a bad time slot, and they start moving the show all over the place, and nobody's watching it anymore, and they can't keep the numbers up. So this is what happens when you start getting too close. But the point is, like you said, Doug, it doesn't matter whether we believe that these guys are doing this or not. They believe it. They believe they're the sons of Lucifer, the sons of the fallen angel, the benign Nephilim. They believe that's who they are, and they trace their lineage back to Nimrod, and they really believe they're going to take back, they're going to completely and totally rule and dominate the planet. These are the guys that are head of the New World Order. These are the pedophiles. Yep. These are the Skull and Bones boys. These are the guys who go out to the Bohemian Grove, and they've indoctrinated the world's leadership now into Luciferianism and basically doing what thou wilt through Aleister Crowley, and having sodomy acts with these little boys to draw energy out of their bodies, and all the stuff that they do in their satanic service and rituals. It's some really, really sick stuff. And the problem is, Christians need to wake up and realize this stuff is real. And if we don't understand what's going on, we're never going to be able to pray against it, and we're never going to be able to stop it, because we're never going to be able to expose it. Doug, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right. And I would urge people to understand the relationship between the Spear of Destiny, or I'm trying to remember the different names now of this, the Holy Lance of Antioch, perhaps. But understand the relevance of this to with Metzler, with Hyperborea, to some extent, there's overlaps with these subjects, and then of course through the present day and how the Spear of Destiny was ferreted through the Nazi occult. That's a big deal. Ted, just to kind of back up here, are you of the opinion, with respect to the Spear of Destiny, that Hitler, the Nazis had possession of the Spear of Destiny? Is this the working hypothesis?
I think it was stolen from him. Just like they said in the with Brad Messer's Decoded, I believe that they stole it from him. And because, you know, the Bible doesn't say this, but that's what the legend was, that, you know, if you had the Spear of Destiny, your military could not be defeated. And quite frankly, the way the Nazis did World War II, and they stole the fortunes of Europe, and they went in and bought in Fortune 500 corporations, you know, all over the planet, in controlling directorships, and then sent all their boys down to Argentina, and they started whitewashing all the money. You know, Jim Mars even says in one of his books that he really feels the Nazis won the war, and he doesn't understand, because they had the atomic bomb, and they had the ability to use the atomic bomb. They just didn't do it. And so it's almost like that Satan group got in a fight with the other Satan group, caused World War II, but then Hitler finally capitulated to the other Satan group and lived his life out in Argentina or wherever he went. So he gave all this the technology from these Viril Maidens back to the United States, you know. And Jim Marr says in his book, The Fourth Reich, that the bombs that we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were German bombs, that we couldn't figure out how to get the detonators to work and make them work correctly.
Yes.
But these bombs were intact, and that these were the two that we dropped, and these were out of Nazi Germany, the bombs themselves. Now, Jim Mars is one of the best research historians that I've ever seen, and really, really documents the stuff that he says. And I believe he's accurate on that, dude, Doug. I really do. Because I mean, with the V-2 rockets and all that stuff that was going on, are you kidding me? And I personally believe that whole bombing of Dresden was a giant occult ritual sacrifice again, you know, at the end of World War II, with, you know, they say some people believe up to 500,000 people were killed, mainly women and children. I mean, there was no reason to come in there, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning and concussion bomb Dresden, which had not been bombed at all. It was a Baroque city, one of the most beautiful cities in Europe. It was all women and children who were refugees from Berlin and other places that had been bombed. And it was just filled with kids. There were really no men of fighting age there, and no munitions plants or anything that was being used to build armament. It was in February of 45. Germany was already on its knees. It was completely defeated. It was going to surrender in a couple of months. And then Winston Churchill decided, who was also, they say, a Satanist, which I believe that, he decided to go ahead and firebomb Dresden after they did the concussion bombs. And then after that was over, where the people were dying by the hundreds of thousands inside the city from the huge flames and the air being sucked out, he decided the people were down by the river. He sent the fighters in, and they strafed them with 50 caliber machine gun bullets until they killed up to 500,000 that night. I personally believe it was another one of these Illuminati sacrifices. That's what I think it was.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because there was no reason. And nobody ever talks about it. Nobody ever talks about the Dresden mess except for the people who live in Dresden. They're still mad about it, and I don't blame them. And, you know, because Dresden is, you know, it's just a shadow of what it once was. And it was funny, Doug, because I was there years ago, and they had rebuilt this cathedral that had been bombed out, and just a shell was left. And in the altar, at the very top of the altar, there was an all-seeing eye that was backlit, just like you see in our dollar bill, just like it. And it was looking over the church, and I thought, that's interesting. Well, the last time I went back a few years ago, the backlighting behind that had been taken away, and you couldn't see it anymore. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
And so, yeah, so then that's stuff that I've seen on myself. Unlike how many hearts this Rockefeller had, I haven't been in a surgery suite, you know. But the point is, it's one of those deals that you don't realize what happens all of these different places. Look at the abortion thing. The abortion thing has turned into this mass, you know, ritual to Moloch also, you know, with 58, 60 million children being aborted. And that's just statistically what we think is the right number. It could be much higher than that. We really don't know. Not to mention all of the other countries in Europe that also have this abortion on demand, and all of the places down in South America now that have got women so scared to death that they're actually contemplating putting abortion ships, because a lot of those countries abortion is illegal because it's primarily Catholic. They're contemplating putting these women on abortion ships, taking them out into international waters and performing the abortions on them because they're afraid of the Zika virus, which is complete and total nonsense. That's being caused by pesticides and glyphosate that are being sprayed on everything down there, which has been linked to microcephaly already. So the whole thing is complete and total nonsense. But let me share something else with you. This is a really interesting article that came out this week by Michael Schneider, who I love Michael Schneider stuff, and he's talking about preachers that are saying it is anti-Christian to get prepared are being exceedingly irresponsible. It is anti-faith to prepare for hard times that are coming, okay? You'd be surprised how many Christian leaders believe that's true. Recently, I've been reading a number of articles by Christian leaders that take the position that Christians should not be preppers. And not too long ago, I watched two television evangelists actually mock the idea of preparing for the future on a major Christian television show. To me, this is exceedingly irresponsible. You know, Doug, a few years ago, I wrote an entire email article on this. It's probably 3 or 4 or 5 pages long. And I talk about all of the millions of people that starved in Germany after World War I. And the millions that starved, that Truman allowed to starve in Germany after World War II. Not to mention the Russians that starved and the Chinese that starved. And yet we're talking tens of millions, 100 million people dead, starvation or war or whatever. The problem is, these people, if they had been told that there was a rapture, they would have never believed that was going to happen, and a lot of them never prepped. And a lot of these preachers on TV that tell you not to prep, that you shouldn't do that, that you should rely on God's provision, they have millions and millions and millions of dollars in their bank accounts, and they know that if the population wakes up and starts prepping, that they won't give them as much money, and that they won't be as quote-unquote blessed because the people will go out and buy food and store food, and they don't want them to do it. So they make fun of them, and they say, you're not living by faith. We had a preacher here locally at $4 million in the account. I know that because I knew his son, and his son basically told me that one time. I won't mention any names. And this guy mocks people that prep because they're not walking by faith. But yet he's not willing to walk by faith and use the money that God has blessed him with in his ministry to support other ministries and missionaries around the world. Rather, he sits on this giant stack of cash and he hoards it because he wants to be sure that he's prepared in case people start don't give him as much money anymore. But he said, tells everybody else, we used to go to church, so we don't anymore. And then he goes and he says that basically you're not walking by faith if you store food. And he was completely and totally slamming Jim Baker from the pulpit, which I really found it was egregious to me, and I found it very grievous. And what happened is Jim Baker now has like the largest TV show in Christian television again. And, you know, Tom Horn's on Jim Baker's show all the time. Steve Quayle's on Jim Baker's show. And
Steve Quayle, I just want to mention that to our listeners, Steve Quayle and Pastor Langford both will be on Jim Baker. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Also, Michael Snyder.
May 10th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. I just want to bring that out. May 9th, 10th, and 11th, as we see right now. Jim Baker Steve Quayle.
And the reason Baker's being blessed is he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth about end times. He's telling the truth about food storage. He's telling the truth about the government. He's telling the truth about everything. And, you know,
a lot of people have issue with him because of his past, but people do have checkered past and find the right track. You know, don't look at somebody's past and take them out or exclude them based on their past.
Let me tell you this. This is interesting. I talked about this today on my show with Austin. I want to talk about it again. I think it's that important. Jim Baker had PTL back in the 70s and 80s. It was the largest Christian broadcast ministry in the world. It was huge. It was huge. And then what happened is he's put that theme park together up there, and he started selling multiple timeshares and basically ran a Ponzi scheme and defrauded a whole bunch of investors is what he did. Well, yeah, the government got involved and put him in jail. He ended up in prison, I think, for 6 or 7 years, and he was raped multiple times. There, he talked about it, and so it was awful for him. And then when he got out, he wrote a book, and basically the judge said, with the part of his provision of the parole, that he couldn't own another TV ministry. That was all part of it. And so he came out about 15, 20 years ago. He got out of prison, and he started all over again. He wrote a book, and it says, basically, I was wrong. You know, please forgive me. He wrote the book. I've got it on my shelf. And basically humbled himself in front of the entire Christian community, of which most people laughed at him and had nothing to do with him anymore after that. But then he realized that he still had a calling on his life to tell the people the truth, including the truth about not giving money to preachers who scream at you, give me money and you'll be blessed. I remember Paul Crouch one time, he died a couple of years ago. In fact, he died the same day that the other Paul died from the fasting, Paul Walker. He died the same day that Paul Walker, almost the exact same hour in the exact same city. I always found that interesting too. Paul Walker from the Fast and the Furious, who's about to expose supposedly what was going on with immunizations in the Philippines. But I don't know that. That could be another one of those internet rumor things. But Paul Walker was a good guy, very moral person. And he also played in a movie called Skulls back in the 90s, in which he exposed Skull and Bones in Yale. and expose them for who they were and what they did. And now all of a sudden, years later, he ends up being killed in a Porsche the same day, almost the same hour, that Paul Crouch from TBN dies in the same city, and they're both named Paul. I could go wild speculation on that.
I don't want to talk out of school, but you had... I'll just say this. I think I'm safe by saying this. You actually had the chance to warn some people that are no longer with us. Don't do what you're going to do, or be careful what you... Be careful, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Sat at a table.
Yeah, I did. I sat at a table, yeah. And what was interesting about all of this is that, I mean, I was on the set at TBN years ago in California, and Paul Crouch walked out on the platform so drunk he couldn't walk. I saw him. I smelled his breath. Okay, I saw eyes completely bloodshot. Okay, and I can say this now because, you know, may he rest in peace. He's gone. But I've never said that because he was still alive, and I wanted to, you know, just not do that. But what was interesting about this is he ended up basically dying the exact same time that Paul Walker did. And I remember Paul Crouch got on TV one time, and I saw this with my own eyes during one of their fundraising episodes. And he got so mad, he started screaming at the people watching the TV, which was me, in their homes, that the reason they weren't blessed is they weren't sending TBN and him money. He said that quote.
Okay.
He said it quote. Now, here's the problem I have with all of that. You get these TV evangelists that do all of this nonsense. They give other TV evangelists who really aren't like that a bad name, number one. Number two, it turns off so many people who watch TV and suddenly come across that TV show, they don't want anything to do with anybody who claims to be a Christian, especially somebody who's a TV preacher, period. Here's the next thing. If you do have the ability to give money to a local church, I suggest you do that. It's very, very important, because let me ask you a question. If someone in your family dies and you're giving all of your extra money to a TV evangelist, I can tell you, if you call that TV evangelist up and you ask him to come preach at the funeral, he won't be there. Okay? Now, I've raised a lot of money for a lot of these guys over the years. And my thing that I always said was this: look, it's not my responsibility what they do. I'm trying to help the audience to learn that they have to understand that health and nutrition are absolutely vital in their lives. That's how I was able to do this and get around it emotionally and spiritually, because I knew the people that were listening to them still needed to eat right and still need to be told the truth about health and nutrition. And I knew at least my information that I was going to be giving was going to be accurate. Years ago, I had another guy who's also in prison right now. I'll tell you who it is. It's Kevin Trudeau. Kevin Trudeau contacted me. I met him when I was doing a show with Danny Bonaducci. I hope you don't mind all these stories. But I was doing a show with Matt, with WGN in Chicago. I think I told you that story. And then after that show, I was on with Danny Bonaducci. He was in Chicago at that time. When I walked into the studio for Danny Bonaducci, the person who was in there meeting with him before I got in there was Kevin Trudeau. And Kevin Trudeau, I talked to him, super nice. Oh my gosh, unbelievably nice person, super smart. And finally, he asked me if I'd like to do an infomercial with him. This is a true story. And I did the infomercial with him, and it was a disaster because the guy couldn't tell the truth. And so finally, I completely disassociated myself with it, which I'm glad that I did. So what I've learned is this, and I don't know
why. Bonaducci, is that who you're referring to?
No, Doug, I had a whole reason I was bringing up that story, and I forgot. And I hate it when I do that. Guys, I'm 60 years old. I'm pretty good 99% of the time. What's the country song? I may not be as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I always was. I ended up, I don't know why I brought that up about Kevin Trudeau. I was talking about TV preachers. I brought it up on Kevin Trudeau. I don't remember. I don't understand.
Talking about a drunk
Paul Crouch.
But anyhow, but Kevin Trudeau was also another one of the, he was just a scammer. Trust me, he ended up owing me a bunch of money. He never paid me, and now he's in jail for fraud. But the point is, man, if you're going to give money to anybody, give it to your local preachers who can come do your funeral for you and your family. Or if you have to go to the hospital, they can come and visit you, and support your local pastors. Trust me on this, guys. I've been with a bunch of these guys. I know a bunch of these guys. And you got to stay away from the majority of these guys. There are a few good ones out there. The vast majority of them really, really don't preach Christ crucified. They don't preach repentance. They don't preach any of that stuff. It's about that feel-good worship stuff that you walk out of there and you don't even think anything about living in sin or living in idolatry or anything else. It's that God loves you and you're going to be blessed. Guys, God does love you. You can control the very fabric of time by the words that you speak, by the scalar waves you put out, by the prayers that you pray. But guys, it's not about stuff. It's about a relationship with God, and people need to realize that as soon as they possibly can. Doug, what do you think?
No, I totally agree with you on that. And people, we've got to understand. I think I was considering this after one of our previous conversations. We've got to take up our understandings, our level of understanding and the intellectual discourse up a notch, I think, and really understand the power in the spoken word. And really understand the physics of the Bible, only because that's what's before us today. If the enemy is going to use the physics of the Bible, and we talk all the time about the occult numerology and everything that is being foisted up against us, then isn't it reasonable for us then to sit back and say, okay, we have to fight on the same plane, on the same level, and have, you know, with the same understanding that they have. And that's why I think that conversations like this are so important. And that's why your information is so important, I believe, truly. And Steve Quayle and others that talk at this level, because it's easy to, I won't say it's easy, it's simple to rely on mere Bible verses. That's not to disparage Bible verses at all. In fact, we need to do that. However, God has given us the intellectual capacity to understand things a lot deeper. And that's, please, oh my goodness, I want to be very careful when I say this, because I don't want to disparage the scripture or, you know, memorizing the scripture. But it goes beyond memorization of scripture. It goes beyond that first level of understanding. Although that is sufficient for God's grace, in my view, and for salvation, I think it's a waste of our intellect, brain power, and capacity if we don't embrace the knowledge before us and that is available to us at this point and use it like a sword against the enemy. That's just my thought. I don't know if I was coherent by saying that, but nonetheless.
No, it's like last month or 2 months ago, I can't remember anymore, when we talked about the blood of Jesus again, and I slowed way down because I had not had any sleep. I'm pretty slow tonight, too, though. I'm actually kind of just chilling out with you guys. And yeah. What was interesting about that is that, you know, we talk about the power of physics and scalar waves, and we talk about the power of the cross and the authority that we've been given as believers. It's so amazing what happens when we pray, how we release scalar energy into the space-time continuum. It's unbelievable what we can do as Christians if we just all got in unison in the aggregate and we prayed together in unison and we stopped all of this infighting and all this other crazy stuff that we do on a regular basis. But back to prepping with the folks that, you know, these preachers that tell you not to do it. I don't believe that we should store up 20 years of food. I don't believe that at all. I don't think we should have a 10,000 square foot basement under our house with 20 years of food. Now, if you've done that, congratulations, okay? I hope you never have to use it, to be honest with you. And if you can, 18 years now before this stuff expires, you can always rotate it and give it to homeless shelters, or you can eat it if you get good food without GMOs and without a bunch of chemicals in it, it'd be okay to eat. Healthmasters.com, we sell some of the highest quality nutritional storable food in the world. I mean, we do. It doesn't have GMOs in it. It's supposed to not have GMOs in it. I haven't had it clinically tested. It's supposed to not have GMOs in it. It's supposed to not have, you know, soy in it and all these other things and pork in it. And so this is the stuff that I would eat with my family if I had to. Now, the way I look at it all, Doug, if I have 10 or 20 buckets of food here, which will feed you for a couple of months or whatever, in the event that nothing happens in the next 18 years, I can then donate that to a homeless shelter and give it to them for food. Who cares? It doesn't make any difference. I bless somebody with it. But now, you know, storing canned foods and having the stuff run out and expire on you all the time, it's okay if you're rotating all of that stuff. It's okay. But, you know, at least get some beans. You can take some beans and you can put them in a 5-gallon bucket. You can powder them down with some Dimetaeus earth. They'll stay there for years and years and years. The rice, not as much, because the rice, if you get whole grain rice, what will happen is it will have a tendency to get weevils in it, but the DE will kill that. But I've seen whole grain rice stay good in DE powder for up to 3 to 5 years. Any longer now, you're pushing it pretty hard, and you don't really want to base your future on trying to eat rice that's bad. But you could probably fill it full of water, let it, you know, absorb water. Even if it was bad, you could feed it to chickens, and it would probably be all right for them if you were manufacturing yard eggs. So that's okay. But anyway, so go to healthmasters.com, get some storable food. Thank you for supporting us. I appreciate it. Thank you for supporting the Hagmans. They appreciate it, and I appreciate you supporting them too. Okay, now here's another one. This is a great article by Mark Salvo. He says that only 6% of the population now believes the mainstream media.
Yeah, and they say it shouldn't be that, even be that high.
Yeah, yeah. What the heck are that 6%? What is 6% thinking? But go on.
But I mean, think about that. I mean, that's how effective you're being on your show. You know, with all the guests that you have on, me being on my show at 3 o'clock on the same station with Globalstar, you know, how we're affecting people with a 3 to 4 live every single day at on my show. You know, we're finally getting people to listen. And of course, I can't say it's us too. It's Joyce Riley. It's you know, it's Steve Quayle. It's Alex Jones when he's not, you know, well, it's Alex Jones. Don't say anything else. It's Jim Baker. You know, it's even Savage. I mean, Savage is really political. But he's at least telling the truth about a lot of stuff. Savage is all about Republicans, right? And you have to do that if you're going to get a huge in the mainstream. You have to galvanize to the right or to the left. You can't take a stance down the middle to the pull you off. So, I mean, even Mancow up in Chicago, he's got like 1.5 million listeners every day now. He has me on like once or twice a month. And we're always talking about stuff like we're talking about tonight on his main show. And so he really cares about the truth and what's going on. By the way, he has changed his whole format with his show now, and he's a Christian, and he's actually really cleaned up his show, and he's actually a very good friend of mine, and I'm really, really pleased to know him. But he's got a lot of name recognition. He really, really does. But everybody's starting to realize now that the mainstream media is just a bunch of liars. Oh, here's another latest article. Obama says it's hard to even say this without laughing. Obama says if Congress passes the 9/11 resolution to show the 28 pages, that he's going to veto it. I mean,
Paul Ryan and Billy Graham behind him.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought that Obama, who writes in his book that basically if the tides turn against the Muslim, he's going to go with the Muslims, who would have thought that Obama would veto an exposure of Saudi Arabia, who he likes to bow down and kiss their rings? Who would have thought that? I mean, if anybody really thought he wasn't going to veto that, you're living in another planet. You have no idea what's going on, because there was no way on God's green earth, as sure as God makes little green apples, that Obama, if he had it within his power, if they didn't override a veto, was going to allow that to go through, guys. What do you think?
Oh, of course.
Ted, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Part of the bill is allowing the U.S. citizens, victims of 9/11, to sue the government of Saudi Arabia. And if they pass this, they say that it will open up, we'll say people who were in Guantanamo Bay who were tortured by the CIA will be allowed to sue the United States government.
Yeah, we want to ask, we want to turn this around and ask you. Joe and I were having wrestling on the air light yesterday.
The 28 pages should be made public. I agree that the people who are accountable should be held accountable, maybe not by individual persons, but by sanctions from our government or whatever is necessary. But would opening up litigation of private persons to sue federal governments or sovereign nations, how would that hurt us?
First of all, that doesn't make any difference. And, you know, trying to sue somebody in international courts, like, you know, trying to catch a fly in the middle of the night without any lights on, you know, it just doesn't happen. It's very difficult to do it. That's number one. So that's just more obfuscation because Obama doesn't want to do it. Number two, we already know that the Mossad, that Israel, that Turkey, that Saudi, the CIA, rogue elements of our government, the Vatican, and you know, in the mafia, we're all involved in this 9/11 stuff, as long as they're also all involved in the doggone assassination of Kennedy. It's not like we're in some kind of Narnia trance where we don't know what's going on, or the bankers have their cloth full of all of this mess. So the truth is this: you know, we already know that there's multiple people involved in this. The problem was the people who wrote the 9/11 report literally said, you can quote them, that they were blocked at every entry, every exit, trying to get the research, couldn't get it done. But apparently, because 15 out of the 19 hijackers were supposedly Saudi, if you believe they were on those planes, they were trying to say that Saudi was involved in it. I don't think Saudi was involved in it any more than the Mossad or Israel or Turkey or the United States government, rogue elements of the government. or the CIA. I believe it was all another one of these big collusion things like they did, you know, after Roswell, when they all got together and decided that nobody's going to talk about what happened at Roswell. And then the Masonic Lodges all got together and supposedly cast a big spell on the population of the United States so they wouldn't see the truth about any of this stuff. I mean, this stuff is all about a bunch of blood rituals and sacrifices and demons, and we talked about this in depth, I believe it was last week. I mean, this stuff is nuts. And when you start talking about this mess, people either think you're nuts or they think you're the smartest person on the planet because they've never heard any of it. Chances are it's the nuts part. Okay?
Well, I got to tell you, Ted, I ended up getting every book that you mentioned cited on your show. And, folks, you got to go back, not this past Sunday, the previous one to that, for Ted's appearance on Dave Hodges and Ted's own show, talking about 9/11 as a mass ritual. I ordered that book, got it used on Amazon, got every book you cited, either I had or purchased. And then, of course, you get into the bibliography, and then you have to go start getting other books. So I've got probably about a dozen books, you can ask Eric, on my desk that stem from that one program that you did. So go back, folks, to listen to what Ted Brewer had to say.
Well, and that's why I was saying about Paul Crouch and Paul Walker. You got two Pauls dying almost the same day, the same hour, in the same city. You know, one of them's a godly person, the other one's not so godly, right? You know, yeah. I'm not gonna say which I believe is which. Okay. And so, you know, so you got all this weird stuff going on here, okay? And so, you know, when you start getting all of those coincidences lined up like that, you know, after what I said about that 9/11 is a mass ritual, you kind of start wondering about all of this stuff because it all gets so weird. And so that's the point that I'm trying to make tonight, is that, you know, we've got to be awake. We've got to realize what's happening around us. We can't just step through life thinking that none of this is going to affect us. And it's kind of like, I have so many friends who've been affected by identity theft, who've been affected by either credit cards getting hacked or stolen, or all of this stuff. So we've got to take proper precaution in all these areas of our life to prevent this kind of stuff from happening. And if we don't do that, then we end up being a victim and going, well, I can't believe no one told me. Well, I'm telling you guys, take precaution. You know, in Florida here, we have hurricanes. Back in 2004, we had 3 hurricanes come through here in 6 weeks. That's never happened before. Statistically, you'd have won the lottery before that happened. I personally believe that was HAARP being tested on Florida. We live in a county called Polk County. It's right in the middle of the state. And I think they said X marks the spot. Here's the center of Florida. Drop 3 hurricanes over this spot in the next 3 days, next 3 to 6 weeks. And then we'll go ahead and we'll test another hurricane and we'll call it Katrina. And we'll hit New Orleans the following week. And of course, we had Hurricane Sandy go up right up through the East Coast the following year again, or a couple years later. All of these things are beta tests as far as I'm concerned. Because statistically, yep. I remember the one guy said, one of our newscasters said here in Florida, they said, you know, it's so strange to me. This hurricane, according to all these high pressure zones, shouldn't be doing this. It's as if it's being steered towards New Orleans. That's what he said. That's what he said on the news. Yeah. And right at the last minute, it turned right to the east of New Orleans. It didn't take a direct impact. And, you know, and so it didn't completely destroy New Orleans. But now a lot of that land that was residential has been condemned. And the refineries who couldn't expand any further because they were out of room have been able to take over all that residential land. And again, the refineries are owned by the Rothschild banking cartels along with the Rockefellers and those guys who could, the globalists who run the planet. We just go on to that whole thing again. But the point is this. That's why in Florida, our power went out for like a week to 10 days where I live. All of our neighbors were moving away. I got a generator. It's running. It's got my freezers going. All the other stuff's going on. And we're still staying at the house now. We don't have any air conditioning because the power's out. The generator doesn't produce enough power to run the AC, but it has enough power to run the lights and the refrigerators. So we're still staying there. Well, we do have a big attic fan in the garage. We flipped on the attic fan, opened the bedroom window, and it drew all this cooler air through the house at night, so we could sleep in there. It was fine. So we were prepped. So guys, don't listen to these TV evangelists that tell you that prepping is wrong. Listen to Steve Quayle. Listen to Doug. Listen to me. Listen to Paul. Listen to Tom Horn. I mean, we're all on the same page. We're all on the same wavelength. Listen to Jim Baker. And you go, I can't believe you said that, Ted. Don't you know? Yes, I know what he did. I got what he did. I understand that. Okay? He's repented for it. But he was without sin cast the first stone. I mean, I've been out there. I've been on a show. I was on a show 10 years ago. They treated me with complete and total respect. His wife is super nice. He was super nice. In fact, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. I mean, so you can't just judge him by what he did 25 or 30 years ago. I mean, I don't want to be judged for what I was like before I got saved or if I made mistakes. But the main thing about it is we've got to believe that he repented, Doug, and we've got to believe that he's made the changes. We have to believe that. That's what I believe, anyhow. What do you think, Doug?
No, absolutely. We cannot look at the past. I mean, he did his time. He was accountable for his actions. He started a new initiative, and he has been touching people and leading them to the truth, which is leading people to the Lord. And, you know, I will applaud anybody who's doing that in these times and doing it with a pure heart for the reasons of only, you know, leading people to the Lord, not for hidden agendas, you know, to be rich on earth or to have some kind of power, but only for the purposes of trying to help others.
Yep.
And if that's his true intentions, then, you know, God bless him.
You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, a man is tested by the praise that he receives. It says that the silver is tested in the crucible, the gold is tested in the furnace to determine its purity. A man is tested by the praise that he receives. That's what happens with so many people that get a lot of notoriety. It goes to their head. They're tested by the praise and they fail miserably. And so many people in the TV circles, as far as TV evangelists and even TV stars and, you know, and people that are on movies, they get all weird. They're like, look at Angelina Jolie. She's like the poster child for the mentally ill, right? Something's wrong with that girl, you know? You know, and so I should have said that. That was really harsh. Sorry, guys. But it was funny, though. You know, but the point is, it's just, you know, she goes out, she cuts her breasts off, she cuts her ovaries out, now her whole personality changes, now her marriage is on the rocks with Brad. You know, I mean, all of this crazy stuff that you see on TV or you see on these, on the Yahoo news stories. I mean, who in the world knows if all of this stuff is true? But chances are it is, because she's actually talked about, you know, having preventive breast cancer surgery, preventive ovarian cancer surgery. Well, the problem when you start taking your ovaries out, the ovaries in a female are basically synonymous with the testicles in a man. When a man is born, all mammals are born female. They're conceived female. It's through cellular differentiation because of testosterone and the Y chromosome that changes a little boy into a little girl or whatever. And so what happens is the testicles would have been the ovaries of the female. That's what happens, okay? And then they descend because they have to maintain a cooler temperature, and the ovaries in a woman are basically the testicles in a man. So when you go in and you remove the ovaries out of a woman, you basically castrate her. That's the point. You can look it up online. I'm telling you the truth. It messes them up because of the hormonal function of the body. This is one of the big problems that we have with a lot of women when they go into menopause. They have a hysterectomy, they call it, in which they take the ovaries out, and then they end up completely changing their personalities. And that's one of the reasons that these divorces spike at 20 and 25 years when women go into hysterectomies and they go into menopause. See, that's why you've got to learn to stabilize your hormones. I believe it's in chapter 5 or 6 in my book, Breakthrough Health, that you can get for free when you order the program through Doug Book tonight. It basically has a whole article in there. My wife wrote about what happened to her when she went through menopause, and she had to have an ovary removed by an oncologist who told her that she had to do it. It ended up being a water cyst, and it completely wrecked her personality for about 6 or 8 months until we figured out what to do, because it was so traumatic to her from a hormonal standpoint. See, this is what people need to understand. You can't just start whacking off body parts and cutting out ovaries and castrating men. You can't be doing stuff like that. You completely and totally change their personalities, Doug. And so you need to be aware of all of these different surgeries they want you to get. Oh, by the way, California is now considering a ban on gun dealers. Have you guys done a story on this?
Oh, I saw that, yes. And that needs to be really spoken far and wide or exposed.
Yeah, they want to start charging all of these different fees, and which the $1,000 taxes on guns. I mean, it's going to basically put them all out of business and make anybody not want to buy a gun in California anymore. Here's another interesting article. It says, drive a car and waive your constitutional rights. It's before the Supreme Court right now, and I really hope there's enough people up there with enough testosterone left to say that this is not okay. Because a lot of states, including Florida now, have been stopping people with field sobriety tests, and if they're not willing to blow in a breathalyzer, then they do, or give a blood test, they have a judge on the spot that orders, gives out a court order forcing this person to undergo field sobriety and a blood test. They will strap them down to a gurney against their will, strap their arm down to a stent, and pull blood out of them against their will, and force them to testify against themselves by giving evidence against themselves in a DUI checkpoint.
That's
now,
right.
Guys, now listen to me. This is insanity. Now, number one, don't drink and drive. That's stupid, okay? I don't even know what to say. Don't do that, okay? The Mothers Against Drunk Drivers are right. Stop doing it. Get a designated driver. Take a stinking taxi. backseat. Crawl in the backseat and go to sleep, but don't drive the car. Do whatever you have to do. But the point is, don't drive and drink. That's number one. Number two, this is insanity that they can strap you down, put your arm on a stent, and take blood out of you with a court order, forcing you to give testimony against yourself, and then you become a felon as a drunk driver. They take they can take your license away forever if they want, and it stays on your record forever. Amen. You know, and you can't get it off. Whereas if you don't blow and you don't listen to what they're saying for you to do, you'll get an administrative revocation of your license. You'll lose it for a year, except for being able to drive back and forth to work. But the reality is, the felony, or the some states it's just like an advanced. Some states it's felony, some states it's not felony. Is that right, Doug? On the drunken driving, it depends on how
quickly
you want.
Yeah. It's quickly becoming a felony in every state. If it's not, I think there's 46. Last count, I'm not sure. It's heading to the point where it's not going to be a felony across the board.
Well, yeah, and what they do, it never comes off your driver's license.
No.
It never comes off your driver's license. And what
or your
happens,
personal record, yeah.
Or your personal record. And if you get an administrative revocation of your license, you'll lose your license for a year, but after 3 years, it drops off your record. It's not on there anymore. So people finally decided, hey, look, I'd rather lose my license anyhow if I've been drinking and driving, or even if I don't trust the breathalyzer, I don't want to do any of this. So what they're doing now, they're saying, you don't have a choice. You have to testify against yourself. That's unreasonable search and seizure, Doug. What do you think?
I totally agree. I don't believe that the Supreme Court or any court has the right to subjugate you or us to unconstitutional. I mean, this is unconstitutional. They're convoluting this driving as a privilege as opposed to a right, but they're using that improperly. It's a fallacious argument to force one to compromise themselves under the Fourth and I believe Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. So it's as much of a constitutional argument as it is a state power argument as well.
I agree, Doug, 100% with you. I agree 100%. Is that our music playing? I think I hear
Marla. No, actually, that was our studio dog who happened to find her. she was actually laying quietly by my. See, that's how it is. My wife comes in, and of course, she spends the time here at the office with me. But she dropped the dog off, and when she heard us talking more.
It's your birthday, Doug. Yeah, you have every right to have your wife with you.
That's right.
I mean, I don't care. But by the way, healthmasters.com, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your multivitamins from us. Thank you for supporting the Hagman Show. Thank you for contributing to the Hagman Show. If you give $1, $5, $10, or $100 to Hagman, it's his birthday. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go ahead and give some money to Doug Hagman.
No, look. Thank you. I will say this. And folks, we're at the close of our program here. We got about 2 minutes left, but I just want to say, Ted, folks, please pray for Ted and his family. You know, he's going through some rough times here. Nothing personal or anything like that. It's just, things happen, right? So keep Ted and his family in your prayers because, stuff happens. With that as well, do yourselves a favor. Use the products of Health Masters because I do. I'll tell you, they work. They work a lot better than anything I've ever taken before. So please do that. Get yourself ready for what is about to come. Ted, I believe we're at the 11th hour here, 59th minute. Not just with the program, but in general. So we need to really be healthy, and we need to have stock up and have get ourselves right, both physically, spiritually, mentally, but physically in terms of what we've been talking about tonight. So indeed, but my goodness, thank you so much. And I know you made. I know it was a very trying time, and I know that you had a lot of other things you would be doing other than talking to us tonight, but thank you for doing so. Appreciate it.
And guys, it's some personal stuff that happened. It has nothing to do with my family, so I'm blessed. Yeah. I'm always blessed. And it's just, I walk in the blessings of God. I mean, I love my movie. Okay. And it's just that, some other people get involved in the movie, not family members who have a tendency to throw things around a little bit. You guys know what I mean. So it'll be fine. So don't be concerned. Just pray for God's will to be done in my life. And that's all any of us can pray for anybody, and just, you know, and just to pray God for, you know, pray God for protection, you know, pray God for protection on Doug and Joe and all of the show hosts and Stephen Quayle. So, you know, station angels around them, put a hedge of thorns around them and plead the blood of Christ over them, because we're all in this together. We're all the tip of the spear trying to help you guys to the best of our abilities. And guys, thank you for listening tonight.
Right on, brother. No, that's God bless the music, you, brother.
So, you have a great weekend. Thank you
bless
to
you
each
guys.
And every one of our listeners. We will be back on Monday.
Amen. That's right. God willing.
Pay attention to our website during the weekend. If anything big happens, we will take to the air. And if not, we'll see you Monday. God bless.
Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.